It's an honor to be standing before you this morning. And I have to admit, when Robert called to extend the invitation to come and speak here, I was glad to be able to do that. But he gave me some choices. He said, you can either go with this theme of victory, or our faith that is the victory, and just pick kind of your own thing, or you can have us kind of give you some options. And of course, I was like, please, give me options. Give me a focus. And so he called me a little bit later, and he starts to give me a list of things. And the first thing that he says is, well, we've got this idea of victory through humility. And he goes on to list some things, and I stop, and I say, well, I like that one. And I thought, well, man, look at what Robert thinks about me. He picks me, you know. The first choice is humility. Man, he must think I'm humble. And then I thought, wait a second. I know this game. You see, because to be able to teach something, you have to study it a lot. You have to try to grow in your understanding of something. And so I thought, wait a second. Here I thought maybe he was seeing humility, and maybe he was just seeing the fact that I need to study it more. But I think there's an aspect that's true for all of us. We need to study humility more, personally, each and every one of us. We live in a society that is very prideful. We live in a society that is very arrogant and very lifted up. We have that pride in our nation. You know, it's interesting, we say, I'm proud to be an American. And I've been to other nations, and you know, other nations have national pride too. But I really think we top the list. We're proud. And you say, Carrie, what do you know about pride? I'm from Texas. Do I need to say anything? I mean, I know about pride. And pride's a problem. Pride's a problem. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We know that. Pride led to Satan's fall. When you think about the fall of mankind in Genesis chapter 3, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, pride is a serious problem. And each of us has to deal with it. Listen to this. God resists the proud. Put your weight down on that for a minute. That word resist, it means to put himself against, almost like putting an army against. He is building an army against the proud. God resists the proud. It's a problem that we need to think about. But I'm not here to talk about pride. I'm here to talk about humility. So what's humility? The definition that we find in, like, New Oxford Dictionary, for example, says humility is a modest or low view of one's own importance. That's pretty easy to understand. It's a lowly view of oneself. And so the world view of humility involves one's attitude towards self. It involves how we feel or how we are. We might say it like this: I feel humble. Or I'm humble because I tell you that everyone is better than me. It's self-deprecating. It's almost like low self-esteem. That's the world's view of humility, but the word literally means to bring low. Humility in the scriptures, it just means to bring low. It's not really that complicated, yet it is. Because what we see is that the Bible presents a different look or a different view of humility. It's not one of our self-worth, or it's not one of how we view ourselves. It's about what we do. Humility is not viewed as a state of being, or it's not viewed as just an attitude, but it's viewed as an action. That's the way the scriptures look at it. Think about this. Nowhere in the Bible does God say, be humble. He doesn't say be humble. He says humble yourselves. It's an action that we do. That's what pride is, or that's what humility is. Peter says this, likewise, you younger people, be submissive to, or submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. James goes on to say, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We could continue to look at examples of humility and how God tells us not to be humble, but to humble ourselves. We could continue to look at that, but I want us to see what it looks like. And I have to admit, as I was putting together or trying to search scriptures to look at an example, that we could really see what humility looks like. I started looking through the other speakers and their subjects, and I came to Gary's, victory through surfing, and I said, it's inevitable. We're going to go to the same passage. And I even started to write an email to Gary to kind of ask, I thought, well, maybe I should write him an email and see where he's going, because I know he's going to use John 13. He has to. It's through serving, right? And so maybe I'll change. And I thought, there is no greater example of humility than John chapter 13. And it's with Jesus serving. And so I thought, wait a second. Maybe our problem is we don't recognize that humility and service, they go together. You can't separate those. We can't separate the attitude or the aspect of bringing ourselves low without adding in the concept of service. And so we're going to see, again, in John chapter 13, a picture, the best picture of humility. If you will, open your Bibles to John chapter 13. I want us to set the stage again. Now, I know Gary did this, and we're going to set it a little bit here again. But Gary mentioned this. He used the two exact passages that we were going to be looking at this morning in Philippians chapter 2 as well. But in John chapter, we're in John chapter 13, the gospel account. In chapter 1, he begins his gospel account by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he's talking about this Word, and who in verse 14 later we recognize this Word became flesh. And when you think about the concept of humility, when you think about the concept of bringing oneself lower, you think about Philippians chapter 2. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery, the New King James says. He did not consider equality of God a thing to be held on to. But he emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And it goes on to say he humbled himself. And when you think about that concept of humility, the concept of bringing oneself low, God, who existed in a form that we don't really understand, a spiritual form that has no flesh, that has no blood, that has no mortality, he made himself to be mortal. God, who cannot be tempted, came down to live as a man so that he could be tempted. He felt pain. He felt sorrow. He felt loss. He humbled himself from his divine place in heaven to come down as a man. And I think about that concept and I think, really, how could you be more humble? Or how could you present humility any stronger than that? And then we read John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will after this." Now, Gary presented this very well for us in setting the scene that here you have God taking the lowliest position that he could find. He had already told his disciples that the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. But he wanted to do more than just say. He wanted to do more than just express it in words. He wanted to show what he meant. He wanted to see what humility looks like. And so he puts himself, he brings himself to the lowest place that he could possibly bring himself to teach his disciples. You know, I really struggled in my mind to try to find an example that maybe I've seen in my life that would not necessarily come close to God wiping man's feet, but would at least give us a picture. And I thought for a while, and I remembered an instance where we were living in Tanzania, East Africa, and of course, as you know, that's a third world country, and it's very poverty-stricken. And they have a custom there that before a meal, as you're sitting around about to be served a meal, they bring around a basin and they bring around a vase full of water or a cup full of water, and they wash hands. And that task is left usually to the youngest child that's able, or if they have a house help, a servant there, as many do have people that they're helping out and they're helping out in their homes. It's their responsibility. And so normally in those instances, you're sitting there and the child will bring the basin and lay it at your feet and they'll begin to pour the water and you wash your hands. And then they have a towel on their arm and then you wash your hands on a towel if they actually have a towel. And I remember this one instance where we were at this elderly couple's home and they had some people there and they had some children there. But we were at this elderly couple's home and the man, the gray-haired man, and we thought about that concept in some of the other lessons. The life expectancy in Tanzania is 54 years old. So gray-headed is significant. It's very worthy of respect. They have words in their language that express respect for these type of people. And he took this basin and he brought it and he poured the water himself for us to wash. He brought himself low. He made himself a servant. Yet we come back to John chapter 13. And we try to put our minds around what's going on. Jesus, in less than 24 hours, is going to give himself up on the cross. He's going to give his life up. He's going to give this body that he came down to put on. He's going to give that up for us. And so in his last 24 hours, he's alone with his disciples. The crowds are gone. The signs are over, the miracles have ended, and he has an intimate setting with his disciples. And we think, well, that would be the time that he's really going to just really lay it on them, right? This is what it's all about. Teach them this great message of how they're going to use his power and how they're going to preach the gospel in all of these different nations and convert all of these people. And yet, he takes that opportunity to serve. That's what humility looks like. That's what humility looks like. How can we show humility? Paul says again in Philippians chapter 2, before he expresses in verses 5 through 11 what Jesus represents in humility, he says this: "Let this mind be in you," let nothing be done through selfish ambition or deceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. When he says, but in lowliness of mind, it's the same word that's used for humility. So Paul says, with humble-mindedness, an attitude of humility, what do? Serve. Humility is not about just thinking we're humble. It's about serving. It's about bringing ourselves low and serving. And so we think, what can we do to show humility? Well, we have four children. We have, our quiver is full in that way. We have four children. And you get a lot of experience and you learn a lot from children. I know we're supposed to be teaching them, but it is often the case that they teach us. And one of the things that I was thinking about with this is the concept of I told you so's. Because if any of you are married in here, there's going to come a time, and I know this is going to be hard for you to take. There's going to come a time when you're right. You see, you thought I was going the other way with that, didn't you? There's going to come a time, especially for us husbands, there's going to come a time where we're actually right. Right. You know, you think about it. No, you go to the next stop sign or whatever, and you take a left. You take a right. And there's going to come a time when we're actually right, and it's going to be in the back of our head that concept of, see, I told you so. Isn't it? What are we doing? We're lifting ourselves up. We're making it about us. How about deciding things? We have a new building here. It's beautiful, by the way. It looks really good. It's the noise. I mean, it really carries acoustics very well. And you know, you've got the seats here and the carpet and all these things, making decisions. And you can imagine that there were some decisions that had to be made in this building and other buildings. And you think, okay, deciding, what kind of chairs are we going to get? Well, I want blue cushions. Well, I want gray cushions. Well, sometimes those things become debates, and sometimes those things become dividing factors. But what should we do? Bring ourselves low. Because it doesn't matter. How can we be more humble? Paul says, look not out only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. We can show humility by prioritizing other people's priorities. It's easy for me to think about all the things that I need to get done when I have a brother or sister or a neighbor or somebody that needs something done. It's easy for me to see the snow that needs to get out of my driveway while my neighbor's over there with the driveway full of snow and think, well, let me get mine done first. What does humility do? You bring yourself low and you put others above self. That's what it means to show humility. In all these things, we need to humble ourselves. But if you see on your sheet there, you know, above the silly information that we have to give about ourselves, that's always the hardest thing to do in the lectureship, talk about yourself. But it says up there, victory through humility. And so I want us to dig into the concept of victory through humility. How can we gain victory by bringing ourselves low? Well, here's how not to do it. Make it about me. If I make humility about me, or if I make victory about me, I will always end up disappointed. I really appreciate Patrick's lesson today. I think it's needed for us. But there's also a concept, and forgive me for saying but, because I'm not trying to contrast. But Paul says in Romans chapter 7, what I'm doing, I don't even understand it sometimes. Because the very thing that I want to do, sometimes, not all the time, not the things I practice, not that I'm a sinner, But sometimes, the very thing that I don't want to do, I do. And the very thing that I purpose in my heart and I purpose in my mind to do, I leave undone. The evil that I hate, I do, he says, sometimes. Oh, wretched man that I am. And so there's a concept there for us that if we put all of our eggs in our basket, if we put all of our confidence in us, we are going to fail. And when we do, we're going to think we're defeated. We're going to feel defeated. Humility. And I really think this is the problem in Exodus chapter 3. Remember that scene in Exodus chapter 3 as the bush that was burning without being consumed, and here Moses is shepherding the flock and wants to go and see this, and so he goes and removes his sandals, and God's speaking through the bush, and God says to Moses, I am going to send you, and Moses says, who am I? And Moses says, what am I going to say? And God says, I'll do the talking. And Moses says, but they're not going to believe me. God says, they'll believe me. And Moses says, but I'm not even really good at this speech thing. I can't even talk good. Please, just there's got to be somebody better than me. And we look at that and we say, oh, it was a lack of faith. He didn't trust God. In Numbers 12 and verse 3, it says Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth at that time. He was humble. God said, I want to send you. And he says, why in the world would you want to send me? I'm nobody. I can't talk right. I don't have anything to offer them. You see, he was humble, but he made his humility all about him. And if we want victory, we can't do that. We live in a society that makes everything all about me. It's all about my needs. It's all about what I want. It's all about what makes me feel good. But if we want to be victorious, we've got to get over ourselves. And what we see with humility is that when we bring ourselves low, it requires, it's a necessary implication, if you want to call it that, that we lift someone else up. So if we make it about me, we're always going to come up short. But if we make it about him, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. You see, what Moses failed to recognize is the very thing that David in 1 Samuel 17 recognized. David, this young man that the people would look at and say, why in the world are you thinking that you can go in a battle against Goliath? And he says, because it's not about me. It's not about me, it's about him. And one of my favorite passages in the New Testament, I'm like, Robert, you can go to 1,000 favorite passages, right? Is John. John 3, you know, and you think, all right, John 3. Everybody knows John 3, 16, for God's sake. That's not my favorite passage in John 3. Turn over to John 3. We're gonna look here. This is one of my favorite passages in John 3. And it's not about being reborn. It's not about Nicodemus. It's really an easy passage to remember. It's only 7 words. That's simple. Beginning at verse 22, we have a scene here where Jesus is now on the scene. His ministry has begun, and John the Immerser's there. Let's read there. It says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not been yet thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. And so you have these disciples of John and these Jews having this debate and all this stuff going on. Here's somebody teaching and baptizing, and then you're teaching and baptizing, and they come to John and they say, "Man, all your folks are going over there to him. They're going over there to that guy and what he's teaching." And in verse 30, John says something that's powerful, but it's simple. "He must increase, and I must decrease." That's humility. That's what humility looks like. Not just making it all about me and bringing myself low and doing the lowly thing, but it's always lifting someone else up. So if we're going to be victorious, it's not going to be about you. It's not going to be about me. It's going to be about him. You see, we're victorious because he won the war. We're more than conquerors because he fought the battle. If I can leave you with just one thing today, it's one thing. If you only remember one thing, this would be it. And our society doesn't want to hear this. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Christ in you. That's what it's about. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen."